Bullpen pitcher coming in, curveballs, right? Mark has COVID, but we have a very deep bench at this church of men who can preach God's word, and I'm grateful that I can do this morning. When Mark called me yesterday and said, "Hey man," he texted and said, "Can you talk urgent?" And if you're, as a pastor, you're like, "Oh my gosh, what could that be?" You know, like, heart sinks. Thankfully, he just got COVID, right? It's like, okay, it's no big deal. You got COVID. But you know, we start the drill of, well, what should we do? We've got this wonderful order of worship that Stephen's prepared around Psalm 19, and Mark's spent all week studying Psalm 19 for this week and next. I'm not gonna attempt to do Psalm 19. We'll let him cover that. So I just started praying. He started praying. Stephen started praying. Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing amongst our people? What could be a good encouraging message for us to look at God's word? And the one word that kept coming to my mind all morning yesterday was transitions. We are, as a congregation, you as individuals, across the board, going through unreal transitions. I'll give you a few examples. In the immediate, I'm leaving on Wednesday to go to Togo, West Africa, which is a total transition of food, language, culture, weather, flight from this place to that place. Transition. Nate and Cynthia and Robin and Nadia Sokov just came back from Mexico. They're transitioning back into this culture from Mexico. My friend James Sharp is here. He's going to be going to the mission field in Germany in a few years. That's going to be an amazing transition. The Garrisons are moving for 2 years to Malawi. Okay, that's just the mission field transitions. There's a medical team going in November. Those doctors that do surgery in the illustrious UK operating room are going to do that in Chocampeach, Mexico. Okay. School transitions. As I look across this room, some of you are sending your children to college for the first time. Some of you have little ones that are going to their first day of preschool next week. And everywhere in between. Some of you children are going from elementary school to middle school to high school to college. Just the schooling transitions are among us. Thirdly, life transitions. Got emails this week. Members of this church who have gotten jobs in other states are now moving. Big transitions. Some of you are going through empty nesting. Some of you are in the midst of the transition of retiring, and some are contemplating that transition of retiring. Big transitions. Some of you are going through the horrible task of thinking about putting your parents in nursing homes or assisted living. That's a transition. And then lastly, this week, sadly, we laid to rest John Rogers, who is Kay Sox and Pam Kirkendall's father. And Tyann Whitworth lost her mother. They laid her to rest yesterday or Friday. Death brings about unreal transitions. Most certainly for the person who has died, they transition from this life to an eternal life, and we praise God for that. But for us, the transition. So just had transition on the brain. And you fill in the blank for yours. I mean, there's, you know, 300 people here. I don't know what transitions you're going through, but I know you're going through them. My favorite rock band is Rush. In their song Tom Sawyer, he says, "Changes aren't permanent, but change is." The changes in your life aren't permanent, because just wait, they'll change, right? That's the nature of transition. So I thought, what kind of lens could I help us put on this morning for how we can approach these transitions? And so if you're a note taker, I just titled this Missional Transitions. That whatever transition you're going through, God intends for you to bear witness to his kingdom in that transition. That's where we're going. So two passages. Matthew 24, 14, which is on page 829 of your Bible, if you want to go ahead and turn there. And Matthew 28, 16 through 20. These are passages where Jesus is speaking about his purposes throughout the world for the gospel. This expansion, if you will, of his kingdom. Verse 14 is the factual promise of what will happen. 24:14, chapter 28, verse 18 and 19 and 20 is how it happens. And we'll talk about both of those. All right, so Matthew 24:14. I'll read the passage and then we'll pray and ask God to guide us. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. All right, that's passage one. You can hold your place there and turn over to 28, 16 through 20. Matthew 28, 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him and some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." All right, let's pray and ask God to give us some lenses to go through transitions with, okay? Lord, it is a little bit overwhelming when you think about all the different seasons, all the different transitions that people in this room right now are going through. Lord, from hard things like laying a parent to rest to seemingly simple things like going back to school. All of those carry a weight of complexity, a weight of confusion, a weight of fear, and yes, a little bit of excitement to some of them. So Lord, I pray that this morning you'd give us perspective to walk on these coming days, these coming years, through the transitions of our life. Thank you, Lord, that we have in the person of Jesus Christ, someone who has gone before us and always, and his promises to us are sure. Give us strength now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have thought a lot about transitions over the years because I'm 52, and so I've been through a lot of those seasonal transitions, ups and downs and that kind of thing. But I'm also a basketball player, okay? And so some of you are going to really get this illustration. Some of you are going to be like, eh, okay, whatever. Maybe it'll prepare you for the great season that the UK is going to have this year. Maybe not. But here's in basketball of all the sports is a game of transition. Okay, there's a transition from offense to defense. You know, the offense shoots it, it's rebounded or it's taken out of the basket, and then that offense goes on defense. And then the flip is true. The defense has been guarding, the ball goes in the basket or it's rebounded, and they now go on offense. Okay, for that change from defense to offense, where the defense now has the ball, they go on what's called a fast break. That defense now has the ball. They're gonna put pressure on that opposing team by not letting them set their defense up and go after it. That transition, an offense, is called a fast break. The opposite is true too. A defense now is gonna keep that team from scoring. That transition, most teams will put on what's called a full court press. And the goal of both of those, the fast break and the full court press, is to disrupt the offense or the defense so that that transition can result in baskets scored. And you know the purpose of basketball, the person with the most baskets wins. So the mission of basketball is to score more points than the other team. The fast break and the full court press aid in that. And I've thought about this in transition in life. Most of us are very afraid of transition. It's scary, it's hard, it's disruptive. Chaos is one of the words that you fear the most about transitions. But let me just propose to you that the basketball example actually has a bigger perspective. Sometimes chaos, quantum physics would tell us, is actually the best thing for the universe. Actually living in chaos can actually self-orient you to direct and to keep you on track for your mission. And I think that's the case in our lives. What the kingdom teaching that Jesus gave us was to orient us into something that is anchored and stable. Your life, my life, feels chaotic, especially when I go through a transition. It feels disruptive. What Jesus would say is, it's okay. I'm with you. You can make it. I've got all authority and power to do this. The kingdom is going to advance through this transition. So Little children, if you're listening to me and you're going to preschool, you need to know God intends for you to go to preschool to advance the purposes of his kingdom. And Chuck and Kay, you lay John to rest because he intends for his kingdom purposes to go as you guys mourn and celebrate his life. Both ends of the spectrum. Okay, so let's look and see why that is. First, the factual promise that Jesus gave, Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, then the end will come. Okay, tragically, people have used this verse as some sort of end times calendar marker, right? Missiologists have gone to great lengths to put on the map the nations that aren't reached yet. And if we can just reach all those nations, then we can speed up the coming of Jesus, right? We just got a few people groups to go, and then Jesus is gonna come back as if we could predict it. That's not the purpose of this passage. Jesus is not trying to put a marker on the map of time to say, if you guys will just get your stuff together, we can do this and I'll come back quicker. And he's kind of waiting on us to get our evangelistic fervor in order before he decides to come back. That's not what he's doing. What he is saying is, it is most certain that as the waters cover the sea, the glory of God will cover the world. That will happen. And I will not come back until that happens. When that is, no one knows. But it's a fact. The gospel of the kingdom is going to permeate the earth like the waters cover the sea. This is so comforting to us because what it says is when sometimes in those transitions when you feel like you're just trying to make it, I'm just trying to figure out which way's up. I'm just trying to figure out which crayons and number two pencils to buy for my first grader. I'm just trying to figure out which plot to lay my loved one in. And everything in between, it doesn't feel like it's very missional. Friend, make no mistake about it. How you and I approach those things matters. This idea of bearing witness or giving testimony was all through our morning worship. The heavens are bearing witness to the glory of God. The creation itself, as Wayne read, is bearing witness to the glory of God. Yes, our lives, our words are meant to bear witness, but it's not just our verbal sharing of the gospel. Your emotions, your money, your time, your relationships, your attitude, all is reflective of a kingdom that has no end. That's what it means to bear witness. Think about this. Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom. What does that mean? What kind of kingdom is he talking about? Well, up against the nation's kingdoms, his is a kingdom of love versus hate. His is a kingdom of grace and forgiveness, not works and performance. His is a kingdom of justice, not oppression. His kingdom is a one of peace, not of military or financial might. His kingdom is one of joy, not sorrow and despair. His kingdom has no end, not cynical pessimism. Listen, when Jesus says you bear witness to a coming kingdom, that's what he's saying. And this gospel, this kingdom will go to every nation. All right, that's the factual promise. Now, how did he intend to do that? Now I'll turn over to Matthew 28. Arguably, one of the most clear stories of transition in the Bible, right? Think about these poor disciples. Okay, it says there's 11 of them. You know why there's only 11? Because one of them that walked the streets with him for 3 years had betrayed Jesus and was nowhere to be found. So they're down a man. And they just came out of the season where the rabbi they had been following around for 3 years and watching him do all these miracles just died on a cross and rose from the dead. You talk about a mental disruption to your paradigms of life. These folks were going through it. So right here, Jesus calls them to a mount in Galilee because he's going to tell them this transition that you're getting ready to go through is going to be challenging. But I've got something I want you to do. All right, let's read this together. Again, 28:16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Isn't that all of our experience with transitions? There's something exciting about this. Here's the risen Lord in front of us. You were once dead, now you're alive. What am I supposed to do with my life? I don't know what this means for my fishing business. I'm not sure what this means for my marriage. I'm not sure what this means for my kids. Right? That's what transition does. It creates a level of complexity. Jesus knows this. Look what he says, verse 18. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Hey guys, relax. I am the sovereign of the universe. I have known from the foundation of the world what I would do and all my good purposes. And I'm working those out right now through everything that you fear, everything you worry about, everything you're in complex mental space about. I am the Lord over. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I'm in control. Whew. That can dispel fear. That can dispel confusion. Even though I might not have answers, I have some clarity now about who's in charge. And then he says, "Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." Listen, this is an often the wording here matters in the Greek. There is only one imperative verb in this sentence. It's not go, it's not baptize, and it's not teach. It is make disciples. The other three are participles. The English teachers among us understand this. A participle tells you how to do the make disciples. And the first one is go. Actually should be phrased as you're going. Okay? Yes, I'm going to get on a plane on Wednesday and go to Africa. That's oftentimes how this is only applied. You got to go, right? But today, you're going to go to Chipotle. Are you not supposed to live out the kingdom and the gospel at Chipotle? It's not any more heroic to go to Africa for the kingdom than it is to go to Chipotle for the kingdom. The kingdom of God must be borne witness to wherever you go. As you're going, make disciples. Testify to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And then look at the last phrase. "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." He starts it by saying, I know you guys are afraid. I know you're confused. I know you're not sure what your life is going to be like. I'm in control. Here's what I want you to do in the midst of that transition of life, circumstance. Oh, and by the way, you're not alone. I'm with you every step of the way. I'm going to be with you. So friends, listen to me. Transitions provide us an opportunity to trust God's plan, participate in God's plan, and rest in his care and protection. Let me say it again. When you go through a transition, whatever it is, it is an opportunity for you to trust God. He's in control. Secondly, it's a chance for you to participate in the outworking of his plan. And then lastly, it's an opportunity for you to rest in his care and provision. This is comforting if you can hear it as you go through a transition. But what's even more comforting is that Jesus didn't give us a hypothetical teaching about this. He himself experienced it. All right, turn over to one last passage, Philippians chapter 2. And Paul wrote one of the clearest Christological sections of scripture that we have about what happened to the eternal Son of God. When he became man, what was that like? This is on page 980 in your pew Bible. Philippians 2, 5. He first says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." What he's saying is, I'm getting ready to tell you something that's a mindset, a perspective I want you to have as you go forward, because it's yours in Christ. And then look what he says. "Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not account equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." What is your power? What is your perspective? What is your motivation to go through transitions with a missional mindset? Christ. He took on human flesh. He walked our sod, as one of the songwriters said. God walked our sod. And he went to a cross, obedient for you and me. And what happened in that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? He was highly exalted that at his name, every nation, every person would bow their knee, declaring he is Lord. Now, I know that is a 50,000 foot perspective about transitions. And it doesn't make the transition that you're going through any less complicated. It's tough. You're going to have to make some hard decisions. You're going to have to engage in some difficult things. But I hope what you see here is you're not alone. You have all authority and power from the Lord Jesus Christ. He has gone before you and has made certain that whatever it is you're going through, he intends to accomplish his good kingdom purposes through. So, whatever it is you're going through, whatever transition you're going through today, view it missionally. What is God doing to accomplish his kingdom purposes through this transition I'm going through today? Amen? All right. Now, let's pray, and then we'll transition to our most stable assurance of this, which is the Lord's table. And Luke will guide us through that. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray that the folks that are here today and listening online for service, hundreds of us that are going through hundreds of transitions all at one time, it's overwhelming to think about, but you are not overwhelmed. You know it all, you see it all, you orchestrated it all, and you are ready to defend, protect, walk alongside all of us. Lord, such wisdom, such power, such goodness is beyond our understanding. So, Lord, I just pray that you would come and meet each of us where we are today, whether it's a young child who's going to school for the first time, or whether it's a family that is laying to rest a loved one, and all the different transitions in between. Lord, would you walk with us? Would you remind us that you are accomplishing your kingdom purposes to all nations, as we bear witness to your kingdom through these trials. And Jesus, you gave us a prayer that we should pray as we go through these things, and we'll say it now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done